Welcome to the podcast of Focus 580, featuring interviews with newsmakers and experts on international affairs and daily life, hosted by David Inge at WILL Radio, Urbana, Illinois. Please support this service by becoming a member and visit us on the web at will.uiuc.edu.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. And we're glad to have you listening. We're also pleased to have here back on the program with us Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He is here on the program once a month, always on a Monday. And we talk about home maintenance. And it's your opportunity to call in and ask questions. Maybe there's some problem that you have to deal with. You're thinking of doing some remodeling or making some changes. And you need some basic advice. Well, Hank is the guy who can help you out. Knows a lot about all the various pieces and parts of the single-family home. So if you have some questions, you just give us a call, and we'll take as many people as we possibly can. Always, Hank is a popular guest here. In fact, maybe the most popular person in terms of the number of calls we get, the most popular. So give us a call, 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line, so we save you some money. If it would be a long-distance call, that's 800-222-9455. 333-WILL and toll-free. 800-222-WILL. Thanks for being here once again.
It's always a pleasure to do this.
We have someone here ready to go already, a caller in Lafayette, Indiana, toll-free line, line number 4 right here. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Some time ago you mentioned how important it is to refasten siding boards that get loose. You said use ring nails. But those don't seem very effective in soft redwood. What about spiral nails?
Certainly there's nothing wrong with spiral nails. They hold very well, but what kind of, are you looking for the nail to hold in the redwood or nails to hold redwood on to the studs or sheathing?
Well, it holds it on first to the next piece of redwood. And
okay.
I don't know how deep to go.
Okay. In that case, yes, by all means, ring shanks or spiral shanks will help.
Main question, do I need a new dehumidifier in the basement? Mine's 10 years old and still somewhat effective, but the coils are always covered with a thin layer of ice.
That usually means that you leaked down some Freon. That your Freon pressure is low. You probably either need a new one or you can get somebody to recharge it.
Would the recharging be almost as expensive as a new one?
It may come closer than we would like to have it.
Okay. Well, that answers it then. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. What sort of things go wrong with dehumidifiers?
Well, basically, about the only thing that can go wrong is that the get a little bit of Freon leak, and then this gets the coil too cold and it ices. Really the difference between a refrigerator and a freezer is that the Freon pressure in a freezer is a little lower than a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Freon leaks down, we end up with icing everything. And the same thing, of course, can happen to the air conditioning system in your house. We oftentimes find somebody isn't working, open up the furnace and find out the coil is a solid block of ice.
Okay. Well, let's go on here. We've got to call someone north of Mahomet. They're next in line. This is line number 1. Hello.
Morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide what to do in my basement with a sump pump. Actually, a couple of problems. I bought this house, and the previous owners had a number of things draining into the sump pump pit that shouldn't have been. For example, the laundry and water softener.
Right. Neither of those should be into the sump pump.
Right. And you can imagine what the water softener does to the sump pump.
Well, actually, the water softener isn't bad for the sump pump as long as it isn't going to a septic tank.
Right. Well, the sump pump just basically collapses in a pile of rust.
Yes, because you are running salt into it, which
exactly,
is quite corrosive.
Exactly. Anyways, I'm trying to decide how to reconfigure things down in the basement. I do have a weeping bed and septic tank system, and I'm wondering what's the best way to set things up so that I can pump water from the laundry and so forth high enough so that I can get it into the drain line for the septic tank.
Well,
and in particular, something that's not going to disintegrate because of the backwash from the water softener.
Well, okay, we're talking about two different things here.
Okay.
First of all, you need a sewage ejection pump, not a sump pump, for the discharge from the laundry.
Right.
And that should indeed go to the septic tank. The
right.
discharge from the water softener should not go to a septic tank.
Right.
So that's going to have to go someplace, and it probably the water softener, you probably ought to be able to gravity drain that without pumping it.
It's below grade.
Well, yeah, but it's going to have to go into a below-grade pit someplace, give it a place to soak in. A so-called French drain or something like this, basically a pile of buried rocks will let the stuff absorb into the soil. Or sometimes you can get by pumping it to a road ditch or something like that. It will probably kill the grass in the bottom of the ditch.
Right.
But they really shouldn't be pumped to a septic tank for the simple reason that as we pump the salt out, the clay soils that we have, if you add salt to them, become almost impervious.
Yeah, that I understand that. I guess the concern I have is that the pumps don't seem to be durable. They just rust away. Is there a particular type of pump out there that will withstand that?
Usually we don't have too much of a problem. Are you on a well or a water system?
Well water.
Okay. That's not going to help us any then. One of the options is to use a water-powered pump. If you are on a city water system or a local water system, and that has no moving parts and is not corrosive.
Right.
But, all right. As I say, I think you're going to have to figure that your backwash water is going to have to come out of the softener high enough that you can gravity drain it.
Yeah. That's going to be a trick. Okay.
Usually not bad.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll continue. We'll go next to someone in Aurora. This is line number two. Hello.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, Hank, I'm having a new furnace put in finally. I'm coming closer to it. And the man that gave me an estimate, he put so many things in. What are the necessary? I only want to put what would be the necessary things for a new furnace. The furnace I have is one of those octopus. We've discussed it before. It must be 60 years old.
Yeah. Well, you're doing the right thing in throwing it away.
Yes, I know that much I know and wish I would have done it years ago.
But I would be putting in probably a direct vent furnace, which should have...
Say it a little louder, please.
I would be putting in a direct vent furnace, which should have an efficiency of about 92%.
Efficiency of 92%.
Yes, that'll be a direct vent. It will not go into the chimney. It will exhaust the gases
so
out a plastic pipe through the
furnace?
Side of the basement.
Direct vent.
Direct vent.
Okay, and 92% efficiency, and what else? Is there anything else?
Well, you're going to need an air handler, which basically a fan, an air handler, basically a fan that's going to distribute the warm air that used to flow by gravity is now going to go through the ductwork. You do not need a power humidifier.
Oh, let me write that down. No, I understand that you don't need humidifiers anymore like they used to think.
Well, basically we're building the houses a lot tighter now. so that we don't lose the humidity as much.
And okay.
As long as your house is tight, you really shouldn't need a power humidifier.
Okay, and anything else?
Well, it all depends on what kind of filter system you want. Do you have allergies?
No.
Okay. Conventional filter system should work fine. You shouldn't need an electronic air filter or anything of that sort.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. We're talking this morning here in this part of Focus 580 with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He is on the program once a month to talk about home maintenance. And if you have questions, you can give us a call. 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. That one's good anywhere that you can hear us. 800-222-9455. Next up is someone who is calling from near Kankakee, and that's line 3. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I can dust my house on Saturday, and by Tuesday, the dust is back thickly enough that I can run my finger through it and see the tracks. I don't think that's normal or average.
Well, a lot depends on how airtight your house is.
Yeah.
How old is the house?
Pretty darn. It's like from the 40s.
Okay. In other words, I've been in houses where the curtains blew when the windows were closed.
Yeah, I've got some windows like that.
Well, okay. You're in a farming area where you're going to get lots of dust. If there's any way for it to blow in, it will.
Yeah, well, I'm down by the river, so it isn't so dusty around here.
Okay.
And even during the winter?
Yeah, it's surprising how much blows around. Now, what can you do? Well, there are a number of different types of air filtration systems that you can put on your heating and cooling system.
Yeah.
The ultimate, of course, is an electronic air filter system, which can take out particles all the way down to grass pollens. But more practical, there are some high-efficiency mechanical filters. Basically, it is a pleated filter element, much like the air cleaner in your car. It'll be about 4 inches thick and usually something like 20 by 30 inches or somewhere like that in size. And that, again, will take down to about tree pollens.
Yeah.
So that's going to keep you from blowing dust around the house. Now, if you can keep it from getting into the house, plus one of these things, that usually takes care of the problem. One of the more common brands of this type of filter is called a Space Guard.
That's the mechanical?
Yes.
Okay. And that attaches to the furnace?
Yes. It will go in your return air duct just where it hooks onto the furnace.
Okay. So is that a big deal?
It usually takes a little sheet metal work, but other than that, no.
Yeah. All right. What kind of dollars are we talking about?
Well, I don't know. I would imagine the unit itself is going to be about $100 to $150 plus the sheet metal work and to install it.
Okay, and they work pretty well, huh?
Yeah. Those filter elements are about $25 to $30, but you should only have to change them every year or two, not the once a month or whatever you do with a conventional filter.
Okay. All right, and what are these things called generically? They're mechanical air filters?
It's a high-efficiency mechanical air filter.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
No, other than doing some weather stripping so that you keep the outside air from blowing in. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
So most of the what we think of as house dust, that kind of dirt in the house, is actually coming from outside?
Great portion of it is, yes.
Huh. And it's coming in even at the time when we have all the windows closed, if you have an old house, well, like the one that I live in, you have an old house that's got enough cracks in it. If air is getting in, then
the dust is coming in with it.
Okay. What do you think about, now there seems to be a lot of interest in freestanding air cleaning purifying units, and some of them can be very expensive. They do.
Yes.
Some of them use filters that must be replaced that are also can be very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some question about whether and what exactly they do, or whether they do what the manufacturers say they
pretty,
will do.
Pretty much so. A lot of them are the electronic air filters, whereby the air is pulled past a grid that charges the particles, and then there's an opposite polarity grid on the other side that the particles are attracted to.
Yeah.
And, yes, there's nothing wrong with that. I know that some people are pushing ultraviolet units, which supposedly can kill germs, with, bacteria, without affecting the filtering capacity. And I've never been completely convinced on those, but a lot of people think that they do help, and if you have a bacterial problem, it can. But as I say, basically, an awful lot depends on allergies and what you may be allergic to and what is in your area. Because even here in Champaign-Urbana, we get an awful lot of pollens floating around.
Right. Yeah.
Tree pollens, grass pollens, and so on. One of my sons lives in Colorado because nothing that he's allergic to will grow at the altitude he lives at.
Well, that's one way to deal with it. Yeah. Move to where there's nothing that you're allergic to.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Well, we'll go on here. Let's go next and talk with we have somebody on our toll-free line next here, line number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hank, nice to speak to you again and yet again. Number one, I just thought of it while you were talking. What do you think of using an air compressor to draw the stuff out of your ducts in your furnace?
Well, you don't draw it out. You end up blowing it out. It, generally speaking, they have a huge vacuum cleaner that they hook up to the thing and then pull the air that way, and then you use an air compressor to blow the dust loose from inside the duct, and then the vacuum cleaner sucks it up.
Good job, then.
And basically, there is a government federal paper on the use of air cleaners, a duct cleaning, as to whether you can justify it or not. If you call my office, I can get you a citation of that if you have internet.
Would you please tell me your phone number so I do have other questions.
Okay. Try us at 356-5048. 356-5048. That's area code 217.
217.
Correct.
Oh, my next problem is another the location of this. The water was turned off, and this happened in real cold weather. And something broke, and with nobody at home, they had to call someone in to stop the water. Now, what kind of a fee or whatever? The water company has not come back for any fee or anything, and they haven't been getting water charge. But what do they do? Charge you, like, for reconnecting a new home or something when they fix that?
Who came in and fixed it, the water company or a plumber?
No, it was a plumber.
It was a plumber. It all depends on what he had to do to fix the leak.
I never got a bill from him, and then he retired.
Okay. Well, he may have just come in and turned off the appropriate valve, and so it quit leaking. And then somewhere along the line, wherever the leak was, that's going to have to be fixed. Whether he fixed that or not, I don't know.
I see. Okay. Thank you for that information. Now, this next one, I've never seen the location, but the way I understand it from my friend, that her sister lived in this house for 16 years, and there was never a problem. Okay, now they get water in the sewer water, and they've had Roto-Rooter, and and the people next door on one side or the other also has the problem. And they have the Roto-Rooter, and within less than 2 weeks, they have the problem again. And they want, my question was, I thought maybe you had something that would kill roots or whatever the problem, that you could tell them what to put in. And they were asking for any ideas that you had otherwise. And they didn't know maybe the problem was coming from the city sewer system.
Well, we don't know. If it's a problem of roots, which it often is, where we get roots in, actually throwing a little bit of copper sulfate crystals in periodically will tend to kill the roots off.
Copper sulfate crystals.
Right.
Okay, you get that at the Ace or whatever?
You may. They're often used with people that have ponds that keep farm ponds that keep the. Growth
like,
on you. In other words, Farm and Fleet or a Big R or some place like that. Probably has it, and they should be relative. We're looking for the cheapest copper sulfate you can get. I oftentimes throw a handful in the bottom of a toilet tank, and this will gradually disappear in three or four flushes. Turns the water blue, but other than that.
It sounds like a woman's way of fixing it. Thank you very, very much, as usual.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. We have certainly plenty of time for more questions. It's our monthly show on home maintenance. Hank Spies is here from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He stops by once a month. It's always on a Monday, and we just open it up. So if you have questions about anything that has to do with attics or basements or gutters or roofs or doors or windows or insulation or furnaces or air conditioning, anything like that, you give us a call. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. One thing I'm thinking about, if you have that kind of a problem with the sewer backing up and you've had it routed out and then a couple of weeks later it's back, to me that suggests that maybe the problem would be that there's a little bit of a crack. It's letting in some dirt. You're getting it cleaned out, but then it keeps coming back.
People that clean the sewer should be able to tell you what they're getting out of it. They should know whether it is roots, whether it's dirt, or something like that. There's a distinct possibility. We get a lot of houses, about 50 years ago, were built with Orangeburg sewer pipe, which has a tendency to collapse at this age.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing I can compare Orangeburg to is the cardboard tube that rugs come in and are rolled up and then are saturated with asphalt, and it was a good inexpensive thing at it was used about 1950 or thereabouts, and eventually it collapses and you'd have to replace it. But that's one of the things. But if it's a root problem, copper sulfate will keep the roots from growing, because most plant roots do not like copper, and this is a relatively inexpensive chemical. As I say, it's used for treating farm ponds for weeds and things like that. So it's readily available, relatively inexpensive, but it all depends on what the blockage is.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any real doubts, there are a number of the sewer cleaning services that have a television camera that they can run down the sewer and see what is causing the problem. If there's a broken pipe, they'll be able to pick it up and so on.
Okay. Before we go on here, we have a number of callers. We do have a news item just in I want to pass on to you. This is coming from the Associated Press this morning. A verdict apparently has been reached in the racketeering and fraud trial of former Illinois Governor George Ryan. That's the word today from the courtroom of federal judge Rebecca Palmeier. There is no word yet on exactly when the verdict will be announced. The attorneys and defendants involved are being called to the federal courthouse. This all comes after the jurors have spent 10 days deliberating the case against Ryan and his co-defendant Larry Warner. Prosecutors contend Ryan steered big money state contracts and leases to Warner and other political insiders in return for various gifts. And as we get more on this story, we will, of course, pass it on to you, give you everything it is we know. And we'll also continue here. The lines now are full. We got some more questions for Hank. We'll go next to a caller in Champaign, and this would be line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hank, you had a wonderful website with a lot of good information on it, and I tried to go to it this morning from the link provided by the WLL website, and I got some strange-looking portal, and it was at hankspies.com.
No, it wasn't. Somewhere along the line, the company that was supporting that website screwed up something, and my website has not been available for about the last 6 months. I'm in great trouble recovering what it is and finding somebody else to host it. I was told that, you didn't pay it. So I find out that the bill was sent by email, and my spam fence never allowed me to get it. So therefore, they shut the whole thing down, and I've not yet been able to get it back up. I'm working on it.
Okay, that's good to hear, because it really was a wonderful resource.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. You didn't want to have any other questions other than that, though?
Well, no. For me, that was a fairly big question, actually.
Okay.
I really look forward to the return.
Okay. Very good. Well, we'll try to let you know. And if it's working next time Hank is here, we'll definitely let you know. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go here to line number two. This is our next caller, and the caller's in Urbana. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I have my two bathrooms are... one's upstairs, downstairs, right on top of each other. Neither of them have a vent fan. The one on the second floor has a very low ceiling. Like, I don't know if it's, I'm just barely over 5 foot and I can touch the ceiling. So I don't think that I can put a light in the ceiling. But is there an easy way of venting two bathrooms, like, on the side of the house?
Yes, you can vent through the side.
Yeah.
Without any great problem.
Is that a real major kind of thing? Do I...
Well, it's going to take an electrical line to it, and they're going to have to cut a hole in the side of the house.
Yeah.
And there's varying varieties of vent fans, and the effectiveness of the dampers to keep the wind from blowing back through them does vary.
Uh-huh.
It's best if there is any room above it, if you can take it up into the attic and over and out.
Uh-huh.
Because we can put a better set of backflow dampers in that way than going straight through the sidewall.
Okay. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Let's go to Matt Toon. This is line number three. Hello. Is there a caller there? Line three? Okay. Let's try, how about Cisna Park here? Line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. If I remember correctly, a while back, in some time, you were asked about mortar repair doing some tuck pointing.
Yes.
Mortar repair. And there was, for older homes, you're supposed to use a type O. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, I went to the home improvement store, and they just seem to have a bag of one type of mortar repair mix.
Okay.
And the fella there didn't seem to know anything about, the difference for older and newer homes.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, can you tell me, do you do something different with this bag of mix, or?
No, it is a different formula completely. It is a softer mortar, the problem being that the mortars we have now are very high strength, they're stronger than the brick. And if you use a hard mortar in the edges, you can actually crack the edge of the brick off. So there are certain things that you can do. Type O mortar is made specifically for the purpose. Otherwise, there's a formula for mortar that uses more sand and more lime in it that does that. I don't have it at my fingertips, but again, if you give a call to my office, I can send you the formula for making your own type O
mortar. Oh, you have to make your own.
But actually, if you go rather than to a home improvement store, you go to a basically a brick supplier. They probably have type O mortar.
A brick supplier? What?
We have the concrete people and brick people and so on. Here in Champaign, there are a couple of them that Prairie Central, I think, probably carries it.
Okay, they were locations that actually sell brick.
Right.
Okay. But you could give me a formula, too, if I call you. Is it 356-5748? 5048. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Spies.
All right. Very good. Thank you. We'll keep going here. The next person in line would be in Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hi. I had a couple questions. First was my garage. On one wall, I have water that comes in. When it rains, doesn't matter if it rains a little or a lot, and I'm just having trouble figuring out what's causing that. Our house is about 13 years old, and we had an inspection report done, and the inspection didn't reveal anything on that. I'm not sure what's causing that.
Okay, now, is this above grade or below grade?
The garage is, I believe it's slightly above grade. It's almost even, I would say.
Okay. In that case, we probably have a roof leak that is coming down and coming out on the inside, or a gutter that's dropping too close to the foundation or something of this sort.
Okay.
Is that report you referred to, is that one we did?
No. Okay. No, it wasn't you. So.
Okay. The reason I was asking is that I have about 10,000 reports on file.
Okay. I had another question, too. Our driveway from the house until almost to the end of the driveway is concrete. But then from the rest of the way to the cul-de-sac there, it's kind of a gravel and rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty messy. And I was wondering, is that a job I should attempt myself to try to go ahead and concrete the rest of the way of the driveway, or is that...
Well, it depends on your experience with it, but yes, you can do that. The one thing that you might possibly consider doing is if you have loose gravel, many times I've gone out and just spread a couple of bags of Portland cement out there and let it wash in, and it will tend to consolidate the gravel. It won't give you the smooth surface of concrete.
Yeah.
But it will tend to consolidate the gravel and make it less likely to spin out from under your wheels and this sort of thing.
Do you have any idea on how much that would cost for a contractor? Or?
No. Yeah. That,
yeah.
That you'll have to go directly with the contractor for.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to line number two. This is Champagne. Hello.
Hi. I have a question about gas lines. I have a very old house a gas water heater and a gas stove. The gas stove was installed about 40 years ago, and somebody said to me, you better get somebody in here to check your gas lines and connections. True, false?
If you haven't smelled anything, I probably wouldn't worry about very much, because the odorant they put in the gas is usually pretty recognizable, and it doesn't take much of a gas leak. Now, I'm assuming that we're talking about natural gas, not propane.
Yes.
No. Otherwise, the flexible connection that probably was used on the stove,
right?
The ones that we were using back then do have a tendency to crack, and they're using different material on them now than they were then.
Okay, now if I buy a new stove, I probably then should think about...
When they install it, they should replace that flexible connection.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. I know that at our house we bought a new gas stove 3-4 years ago, and that was one of the things that they recommend, replacing the connection, and it was a very inexpensive thing, so I figured, well, sure, it'd probably be a good idea. And I don't even remember if they insisted on having a new connection, or they would have done the old one, or they just said, look, we think this is a good idea, and it cost, I don't know, $10 or something, so it wasn't like it was a lot of money.
Well, it depends. If you look at it and the flexible connection is sort of copper-colored, by all means, replace it.
Hmm.
If it's the newer type that will be more silver, then I probably wouldn't worry about it unless you smelled something. But the old ones that were sort of bronze type color, we have had some problems with.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll just keep on here, and next talk with someone in Normal. This is line number three. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
My name's Kevin, and I have a house that is on a slope. It comes off railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
The backyard, when there's snow or heavy rain like we've had yesterday or in the past days, I have to bail out the basement. Now, there is a drain hole pipe in under the patio area that should drain it to the street and let it go down the sewer. Mm-hmm. Disposal. Wastewater.
Right.
That is not working. How do I get it to work?
Well, it all depends why it isn't working. If it's blocked, then it's a matter of getting the equivalent of Roto-Rooter in to clean the thing out. Generally speaking, when you have a house on a slope like this, you have to go on the upslope side, dig in a trench, put a tile in the bottom of it, and backfill it with river gravel, not crushed stone. And then the water on the surface runs over, hits the gravel, goes down to the pipe, and runs off and out around the house.
Okay.
But as I say, if somebody has used crushed limestone, no, the stuff dissolves enough and fills in, and it won't work well. You really have to use washed gravel.
Okay. So I need to consult with the Roto-Rooter company to put a snake in there.
And see whether or not that pipe is open that is currently draining.
If it's not open?
Well, they can clean it out, or you may need to replace it. Yeah. How old is the house?
Post-war, it's 30, 40 years old.
Yeah. There's a good chance that the pipe may have cracked or collapsed.
I see.
And so that's something that they can tell you.
Okay. I'll consult with them.
All right. Well, very good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We have certainly time for other folks if you want to call in here and talk with our guest, Hank Spies. We have about 15 minutes maybe left in this first hour of the show. Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service. He's on the program once a month. It's always a Monday, and we do this very thing. I'll give you a chance to call in and ask questions about problems around the home. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. I thought maybe we'd take a minute here to talk about wet basements. Since now, over the last few weeks, we've had here in Champaign-Urbana, elsewhere, we've had some heavy rains, and probably there were people who went through the entire winter, basement completely dry, didn't have any problems. Now it starts to rain. Now we start to have problems. Give us the basic points about you're walking around, you're looking at the house, you're looking at the gutters, you're looking at the downspouts. What sort of things should people be thinking about?
Well, basically, the yard should be sloped away from the foundation. Generally speaking, we want the dirt to be at least 6 inches below the bottom of the siding, and that doesn't make any difference whether it's masonry or otherwise. We want it to go from the siding down about 6 inches, and then there should be another 6 inches of slope in the first 10 feet away from the house, and then that should end in an area that will gravity drain to the street, to a tile, whatever. We also need to have the gutters extended. If you have a basement, the discharge of the gutter should be at least 5 feet from the basement foundation. Crawl spaces, 3 feet will usually do it. And, of course, then that whatever it discharges to, whether you're using a splash block and running it out or whatever. But at any rate, that needs to be getting away. We have relatively few places where the groundwater table is so high that water is coming up from under. It's nearly always water off your own roof that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to dispose of that properly. And I know there have been a tendency some places to replace gutters with some little sort of looks like Venetian blind thing on the end that disperses the water, so it doesn't wash out the lawn under the roof edge. That does not get the water away from the house. I consider those to be a total waste of money. It's one of those things where nearly all of it is coming off your own roof, so look where the water from your roof is going. And the newer houses particularly, remember that they had to dig the hole to put in this basement, and they backfilled it, and the backfill is probably settled. And that leaves a moat around our castle, and we don't want to be able to fill it. So it's probably may even take another truckload or two of dirt around. When I bought my house, it was probably 20 years old. The first thing I did was haul in two truckloads of dirt. I've not had a water problem in the basement since.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the real reason. Sump pumps merely tend to cure a symptom, which is water. We want to keep the water out. I don't want to have to pump it out.
Yeah. Yeah. You want it not to go in there in the first place.
That's right. I don't have a sump pump in my basement. The big thing is get rid of it before it gets there.
All right. Well, we have some other folks here now ready to go who have questions. So we'll get back to the phones, starting with someone in Philo. That's line number one. Hello.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm calling because of a problem with my chimney, and I'm wondering what I need to do about it. It's a brick chimney, and the facing of the bricks is popping off the top row now. Can that be tuck pointed, or do I have to build a whole new chimney?
Well, once the brick starts splitting off, there's nothing you can do short of replacing the brick. But why did it happen? Basically because the mortar cap on the top of the brick cracked and let water soak into the brick, and then when it froze, it popped the fronts off. So what we really have to do is put a new chimney cap on to keep the water out of the brick. Now, there's a couple of things you can do for that. You can use an adhesive-backed roofing material, such as Peel and Seal or Bitumen, both being a couple brand names. There are others. And make a cap so that it actually sheds the water. Or you can replace the existing cap with a poured concrete cap. That concrete cap should extend about at least a half an inch past the brick on all sides, so the water dripping will drip off it and not running down on the brick. But basically, it's a matter of keeping the water out of the brick. But once the brick has spalled, the surface is split off, there's nothing you can do with it short of replace the brick.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And then next we go to a caller in Onarga, line number four. Hello.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Spees. I have a relatively old, large square home currently with vinyl siding on it. Mm-hmm. And considering replacing that with artificial thin brick or stone, are you familiar with that?
Yes.
What do you recommend?
Why do you want to replace it?
I'm tired of looking at the vinyl and I like brick or stone.
Okay. In other words, it isn't to cure a problem.
No, not at all.
Okay, the main thing is that you have to have enough ledge on your foundation to support the bottom of this thing. I realize it's lightweight, it's thin, and so on, but generally speaking, there's still a fair amount of weight to it, and we've got to have a way of supporting it. And whether you can get a ledge or pour some kind of a ledger around the existing foundation to support it, fine. Otherwise, that all of this works, I would, after I put it on, I would spray it with a water repellent to reduce the water that soaks into the artificial stone, which you'd probably have to do about every 5 to 7 years. Please do never use a silicone sealer on it. This is a water repellent, not a sealer.
Do you recommend putting a vinyl, like plastic, on before the artificial brick?
Yes, I would put in a layer of house wrap behind it, you know, Tyvek, Typar, some one of those, so that any moisture that got through could not get to the wall. And you have to be very careful as to how you flash around windows and so on to keep the water out from behind this material.
There are several brand names which I've come across. Do you have one that you recommend?
Not particularly.
They all work?
Reasonably so. I'm not familiar with a lot of the specific brands of it, but basically they're the same.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Let's go next to a caller on line number two, and I believe this would be Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Recently on WILL TV, there was this Ask This Old House program where they demonstrated installing a on-demand hot water heater, which was quite small, didn't take up very much space, but took lots of tubing and piping to install and was quite expensive. And so I just wondered if you'd talk about that, if you think it's a good idea or what.
Well, a lot depends on what your specific problem is that you're trying to. If you're trying to replace the main water heater of your house, it's going to take a fairly good-sized one. But we use these often where we've got a bathroom at the far end of the house and it takes you a couple of minutes to get warm water. So we'll put in a small one that will give you virtually hot water on demand.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was for the whole house.
For the whole house, okay.
Yeah.
So there are various sizes of them. Yes, I've seen some very good articles on how to size them and so on. I'm not sure that they do as much saving as we thought.
Well, that's what I was wondering about.
The idea is that if we're not storing hot water, we're creating it at the time of use. However, the new standard water heaters have so much better insulation than the old ones used to have, we're not really getting very much heat loss that way. As a matter of fact, today's hot water heater, if you have a pilot light in it and you aren't using any water, the pilot light will probably get the water hotter than the thermostat setting is.
Wow.
So that can happen. Now, if this unit that you're talking about has an electronic pilot so that there is not a pilot light burning in it, you may get some savings. If you are running a pilot light in that, I think your savings are negligible.
Mm. Okay, well, that's good to know because it sounded like it would, you know, it's going to save you a lot of
money. Well, as I say, it depends on exactly what you're doing with it, what brand, and stick with one of the better-known American brands. We had a problem back 20 years ago when these things first appeared on the market, an inability to get parts if anything went wrong.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And we now have a number of major manufacturers that are producing them that you can get parts for them.
So it was quite expensive to install, and so I was just wondering.
Well, I don't see why it should be that expensive to install.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more than a standard water heater, yes, mm-hmm. but not that big a deal.
Okay, well, that's good information. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. We'll just keep going here. We'll go next to Urbana Line 1. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quick plumbing pressure. It has to do with hot versus cold water. One, why would I get better water pressure with cold versus hot water? And secondly, in one bathroom I have a bath-shower combination. When I try to fill the tub, I quickly run out of hot water, even though hot water is still available at other taps throughout the house. Why?
How old is the water heater?
It's old. It's not a standard water heater. I've got the circulating hot water heating, you know, for the house versus mm-hmm. you know the forced air heating, and it's an old unit.
Okay. Well, I suspect the way that is connected in. I have a similar system in my house, except that domestic hot water takes priority over heating.
Mm-hmm. Well, even when the heat is not running, you know, in warm weather, this still happens.
Okay, well, the difference in pressure may be pipe size. I may have hooked something up with 3/8-inch pipe or something like that. But the new water heaters that work off the central heating boiler work very satisfactorily. As I say, I have one, and it produces more hot water than I can conceivably use because it diverts all of the heat from the boiler to heating the domestic hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could probably run it 24 hours a day and still hold temperature.
So you're saying perhaps it's time to replace the boiler?
Or at least not necessarily the boiler. It may be the heat exchanger. I don't know what kind of heat exchanger you have. If you have just a loop of pipe in the boiler, then yes, mine works as a separate tank. It acts as one zone of the hot water heating system,
mm-hmm.
and has a separate pump that provides that, and that works very, very well. But
yeah, I don't know what type of exchange system I have.
Okay, again, you're here in Champaign.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, if you will give my office a call, I can give you a name and a phone number of somebody who is expert in this type of system and should be able to diagnose it for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. And let's go at least one more here. Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Good morning. I had the opportunity to, I'm going back to driveways. I had the opportunity to go up to the Chicago Center for Green Technology, and I was very interested that they have some permeable surfaces for driveways that I haven't going back to them for the details, but we're going to have to replace a driveway. And I'm wondering, and you mentioned in the earlier call of Riverstone, is that what you called it, rather than
wash rock rather than crushed gravel, yes.
Yeah, and I just wondered if you could give me any tips for local people that I could talk to about not doing a concrete driveway, in other words, doing something that might take care of its drainage itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a number of people who specialize in gravel driveways.
Uh-huh.
And just hit the yellow pages, and you should be able to pick.
And are they, do you know anything about any, sort of the latest scoop on how to how to manage a gravel driveway? Because I understand that they have their problems, too. But
yeah, well, yes, they do. Among other things, they're darn hard to shovel snow off of.
Well, that's it. And this was a sort of an intermediate when you said pouring cement over the, rather than redoing the driveway on the earlier call. I wondered if there was some in-between technology now that was more environmentally friendly, or, just to try to keep the groundwater on one's own territory. They seem to be successful at this Chicago Center. Are they not putting anything into the city sewer systems because they've got a sump and they've got prairie grasses around it and all kinds of things that I can't do here, but I still was interested in the fact that there are other...
Okay, I'm not familiar with their work that they're doing in that area, but...
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's a place to tell people to go see if they have a chance.
Fine.
Okay, well, thanks for the call.
Sacramento Boulevard in Chicago. Thank you.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I think at that, we're going to have to stop, and I'm sorry, we have one more person we just can't take, but maybe if...
Get the address.
Okay, yeah, if you want to get a phone number, maybe, or of the person who is on. Oh, no, they're gone. Well, okay. If you want to, if the last caller is still listening, and if you want to give Hank a call.
356-5048.
All right. Otherwise, Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service will be back here again next month. He is always here on the third Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. We do these shows and have for a long time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.